Hello, and welcome to the Diary of a Female Entrepreneur podcast. This is the podcast that teaches entrepreneurs how to start, grow, and sustain their businesses while handling all the emotional challenges life throws at them like a boss. Here's your host, Nancy Mensa, business and life coach, international speaker, and the founder of Triumphant Women Nonprofit Organization.
Hey everyone, welcome back and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Diary of a Female Entrepreneur podcast. I am your host, Nancy Mensa. My guest today is someone that we all need in our lives in order to be successful. It doesn't matter what stage you are in as an entrepreneur or whoever you are, or even what age you are, you definitely need sound financial advice and financial wisdom and tips to help you to be successful in business and even in your personal life. And so I'm so honored and I'm so excited to talk to Miss Brittany Castro. So audience, please help me welcome Miss Brittany Castro to the show. Brittany, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, well, Brittany, before we go forward, let me just share a little bit about you to the audience so they can know that they are in for a treat. Brittany is the founder and CEO of Financially Wise, Inc. It is an LA-based financial planning firm whose mission is to teach individuals and couples the art of managing their money the fun and simple way. Brittany is a certified financial planner. She's a chartered retirement planning counselor. She's an accredited asset management specialist, entrepreneur, and speaker. And she's also been featured on CNN, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and so many other places. So, Brittany, once again, thank you so much for being on the show and welcome.
Thank you.
So, today we want to talk about business and personal finance for entrepreneurs. So, even before we get into that, Brittany, tell the audience a little bit more about you and how you got started in this financial world.
Yeah, so I'll tell you my story in a nutshell. I got a degree in business economics, and at that time, I had no idea what a financial planner was. I didn't even know what this career was, but I was always had this idea to have my own business and specifically help people, and you know, math was relatively easy for me as a kid. So in college, I sat down with my career counselor and I said, look, I got a job offer to be a financial advisor. What do you think? And she said, take the job, try it, see if you like it. And if you don't, move on. So basically, that's what I did. I took a job right out of college as a financial advisor, and it was straight like commission. So I remember even telling my parents about this job and they were asking me, okay, well, how much is the salary? What are the benefits? And I go, no, the salary is unlimited, right? You know, the benefits are this. But I just remembered having this goal, you know, to make a certain amount of money in the first year, just so I could almost prove to myself that this entrepreneur way of working, which is being in charge of your own income and salary, would work. So I did that at that firm for almost 5 years. I got really good training. I became very successful there. But also what I learned was that I wasn't a typical worker bee for corporate America. I had too many ideas. I was way too creative to be in this restrictive model. And I started to, like, my whole body, you know, started to react. Like, I was sick a lot. Had a lot of stress, and I just realized I'm too young, like I can't live this way. So I left that company and went to an independent financial firm to have more freedom to work with clients and really create stuff that I wanted to create, which was the blog. So I started a blog called Financially Wise Women. I started to create content specifically toward women. One, because I was so passionate about it, being a woman in finance, I didn't even relate to my colleagues. But then two, I saw it as a huge opportunity in the marketplace. And it was just like the perfect time. Women were more and more in control of the money and starting businesses. And, you know, then the technology with social media. So I saw all that opportunity and took advantage of it, made the leap, started at this new firm, rebuilt my book of business, now focused on women. And then at about 2.5 years in, I knew it was time to take it to the next level, which was start my own firm. So that's what I have now. It's 6 years old. We do fee-only financial planning. I do a lot of brand partnerships to create content around financial literacy. I have online course, teach a lot of workshops still. And really the premise is to look at money in a holistic way, to help people understand, feel empowered with their money, feel like we're the partners to help guide them. We don't take commission. You know, we're very transparent with fees. So all those things that people fear about working with a financial advisor, I removed, because quite frankly, I would never want to work with someone like that. Why would I create a business model? So I really created this dream business for myself. And I'm very happy because, you know, I have great people on my team. We work with great clients. I get to work with cool companies to create financial content to help educate more people. And, you know, it's kind of like that entrepreneur story. You create a vision and then one day you wake up and you're living it. And it's so exciting. And I'm sure we can get into it. There's so many struggles and challenges and all these things that came, but to see like, okay, this is my life now, and this is so cool, and it's possible. And now we have, you know, more aspiration to keep growing, for me to keep growing as a person. So that's my story.
I love it. I love your story. I mean, it speaks so much volume here. And you touched on a lot of things, Brittany. I mean, really just the way you started and define your parents, or at least define what society wanted you to be. Realizing your true passion and knowing that you're not cut for the cubicle or to just sit there in the corporate world, and just really taking that leap of faith. And I think a lot of the audience, a lot of people listening in can find themselves stuck in that life where, yes, we need this paycheck, but then you're truly not living out your passion, and you're not really living out and doing anything that brings you true self fulfillment. But you took that step, and I mean, I just love your company and what you've been able to do with it today. Now, what advice would you give someone out there right now that knows that they have that entrepreneurship itch and they have it in them, but then that bills keep coming and that paycheck is enticing? What advice would you give to someone that to tell them, you know, when to take that leap of faith?
It's interesting because I took the leap. I'm a risk taker, and I've realized that about myself. So I took the leap, you know, before probably I was set up financially. I mean, I had savings, but I ended up using my retirement account to start the business. So I think you have to assess yourself and say, what is my comfort level? You know, obviously, if you have bills, I'm not telling you to not get an income, but there's resources. Are you going to get a loan? Are you going to ask for money from friends and family to start your business? Are you going to leverage your own savings? How are you going to support yourself for the first few years? Because the reality is you don't really make income for a few years, and all the income that you do make goes right back into the business. So you know, looking back, obviously I knew these things, but I could have, they always say it takes more money and more time than you think, right? So I think you just have to assess yourself, but know it's possible and go for it. And it takes courage. You know, everybody has fear. It's not like I was just, yeah, I feel 100% confident. No, I remember when I was leaving the first company and going to an independent company, even though I was having support at that company, that independent firm, it was still on my plate to make it happen. And I remember those emotions of, oh my God, what if I fail? What if this doesn't work? And the anxiety and the stress and the, but also it's exciting, you know? So I don't think there's ever a perfect time. Like, life doesn't work that way. It's not like all of a sudden you just think, you know, you're there, and it's like you make a decision and you make it happen. And I think that's what it comes down to, and trusting that you'll be able to handle whatever comes after that, right? Because it's decision after decision after decision. That it's not just you leap right into this successful company. No, it's like a stepping stone. So make one decision, take the next step.
You're absolutely right. And as long as you take that step, because I think, and you mentioned that, you know, it's not a perfect world. And sometimes people tend to pause on your dreams, or because we allow the fear that comes along with being an entrepreneur, we allow that fear to stop us, because fear is an excuse. And if we're not careful, we literally can pause. We can just decide not to even take action and be comfortable with living that 9-to-5 life and never truly living a life that we want because we're afraid to take a leap. And so, Brittany, thank you for sharing that story, because it's real. That's the reality of this journey, is that it's not easy. You are going to have to take risks. You are going to fail at times. But, I mean, look at you now. It's been 6 years since you launched your company, actually almost 9. And, I mean, you're doing such amazing things. But what would have happened if you never took that step, if you never, you know, was that crazy risk taker? So I completely understand. And another thing that you touched on, it looks like you discovered your niche because you went exactly towards women. Tell us a little bit more about that. Did you do research, or how did you find that that's the way you wanted to go?
Yeah, it was really the first 4.5 years that I was working at that first company that I noticed. I think I began to notice, okay, one, I'm one of the only women in the firm. And then I would go to conferences and I'd be one of the only women. And then I just started to talk to people, and specifically with women, they would always come to me and ask me more life questions. They didn't care about standard deviation or beta of their portfolio reports that we were showing them and taught to show them. They would just say, is this enough money? Am I going to be able to retire? Are we going to be okay? And they were asking in a way that felt real to me. Like, I thought, oh yeah, that's what I would care about, you know? So I just started to become aware of this. And then also, I think just doing my own research around women in finance and learning statistics that only 20% of CFPs are women, you know, so there's not a lot of women in finance, but yet the majority of wealth is held in the hands of women. And then I started to see these statistics about when a husband and wife are married and the husband dies, 70%, it might even be higher, but 70% of the women leave that current financial advisor and find someone new. So I think just learning these statistics, seeing who I am and what my natural, like, where did I naturally gravitate toward, was all part of it. And with marketing, they, you know, niching is so important, because then you could become an expert and a specialist and a well-known resource for that specific group. And then you could always expand beyond the niche, which is what we're doing now. You know, it used to be financially wise women, but now we're financially wise because we do help a lot of couples, and I do speak in front of a lot of men and women. So it's no longer, you know, it just makes sense to evolve and talk to both people now. But I think with the women, you know, it's just always going to be something connected to my heart. And obviously there's such strong women out there, smart, savvy women, but there's just not a lot of the big, big financial firms who really get it and deliver advice in a way that makes a woman feel empowered and confident. It is changing, but the scale really hasn't changed that much since I've been, you know, over 13 years, but it is changing. And I think little by little, and every year we see even more, like, the opportunities to get services from the people we're working with, and we're demanding that as consumers. So it is nice to be kind of in this time. I always feel super grateful to be a woman in this time, to have the ability to even have a business. You know, there's so much freedom that I am very grateful for.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Now, what advice would you give? And I know you've said a lot of great things. There are people that struggle of not knowing where your niche is, and wanting to please everyone because you think that, you know, I don't want to keep my eggs in one basket. What one advice can you give to someone to help them just stick to one and identify at least the right way to go?
I would say a piece of advice is you're not locked in to serve this niche forever, but it is so important in a world that is so saturated with information and people everywhere. You have to figure out how are you going to distinguish yourself to separate yourself from the rest. So whether that's a niche or a specific way of doing something, like what's your story? What's going to make you unique? What's going to make you stand out? I mean, it's almost like this idea of you become your own brand, and what do you stand for? Why would people get behind you? You have to think like a leader. Like, how are you going to get your tribe of people who resonate with you to follow you? And when you think like that, then you can operate your whole business or your marketing around that core, you know, clarity that you have. And quite frankly, you'll be happier. Like, I know for myself, the moment I started specializing in the niche I wanted to work with, I was so happy because, like, I literally talk to people and get paid to connect with cool people. Like, the clients we work with, the people I get to partner with, and like, it's so cool. And it's because I'm very clear about who our ideal clients are. It's listed out. My whole team knows it. Everything we create is centered around that ideal client, how they think, how they speak, what they do. So it's like a magnet, right? It brings those things to you. It's anything in the universe. When you get clear on something, then you begin to see it and then it attract it. So I'm a big believer in that.
Awesome. Now, let's go into the depth of the finances itself. And perhaps you could tell us about some of your programs. If you're speaking to a room full of fresh entrepreneurs, or maybe they've been in the business for less than a year or two, what are some advice that you would give them concerning how to manage their finances?
So one piece of advice that I tell every entrepreneur is you have to get clear on your business and personal budgets day one. Sounds pretty basic, but I'm telling you, most people are not clear about how much money they need from their business every month in order to operate their personal bills and savings goals. Whether that's $5,000, $10,000, $1,000, whatever the number is every month, you need to know that and then reverse engineer it into the business so your business can support the life that you want. So that's first and foremost important. Second thing, of course, is to separate out your business and personal finances, the checking accounts. Really, even if you're a sole proprietor, you need to have that separation for efficiency. You need to know, okay, this is business income, these are business expenses, and I'm going to literally transfer money every month, work with my CPA, to pay myself a certain amount to then fund my personal goals and bills. So having that separation and clarity, again, is going to make it efficient for you. So as you grow, as you scale, this business continues to work for you. And don't use the excuse that you're too busy. You know, like, I think a lot of people fall into the trap of like, oh, I'm so busy, I'm an entrepreneur, I don't have time for all that. Well, finances are extremely important if you run a business. Like, you're not running a business if you're not making money. It's a hobby, okay, first and foremost. And then even when you're making money, I'll tell you, my company makes a lot of money, but it's never ends. It's like, how do you manage that money even better? How do you, you know, how do we all get paid more? How do we keep our costs down? How do we maximize tax strategies? How do we save more? So how do we expand? And that takes money. So there's always the financial component. And if you want to run a successful business, that's important and you can't ignore it. And we all know so many businesses that, you know, start and fail or start and make a lot of money, but then they didn't plan properly. So then the moment the business doesn't do well in a revenue, they can't support the business. So there's so many like things and reasons why you need to know. And it's doesn't have to be scary. I don't think you should use the excuse that no one taught you this, because duh, nobody teaches us this. It's up to you.
We don't
get taught
this in high school.
Yeah, and I think that's the cool part about entrepreneurs, because you already have this desire to want more, do more, launch something, right? So take that same desire and apply it to your financial life and see how beneficial that will be long term.
Yes, absolutely. And so we've talked about separating your personal and business accounts, and also basically getting clear on your business and personal budget. Now, if you are working with an entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur, they have done this too, and yet they're still not informed on finances. What would you tell them? Maybe a particular bank or interest rates, things like that. What would you tell them to help guide them?
So, yeah, I think, you know, just in terms of checking, I mean, figure out which bank's going to give you the most support. You know, they treat you well, low fees. We don't really recommend a specific bank. But for the savings, like your cushion account, for tax account, you know, like maybe you're parking money aside in a savings to pay taxes, or short-term goals like buying a home or, you know, expanding your business, these savings goals should really be in a high-yield savings. So that's something we always encourage our clients to confirm, that their savings, while it's just sitting there as a cushion, it's earning the most interest for you. And that's usually a big opportunity for 99% of our clients that we work with, is they're not doing that. So that's always a good place to start. But in terms of like banks, I think you always to consider, especially as a business owner, who do you think is going to be more open to giving you money down the road? Like maybe you want to get a business loan down the road. So by establishing a history with a specific bank, and you know, then you can be and go and talk, like literally this is a lost art, but if you can go and meet with someone, a banker, and get them on your side, you know, understand your business, they're going to probably vouch for you more down the road when you need a loan or whatever it is you need to operate your business more effectively. So building a personal relationship is always key.
You're right. And I mean, we've all seen this happen where people keep switching from one bank to the other because someone did made you upset, or you didn't get what you wanted, or something happened with your credit card. But really, there is a reward in building a relationship, a long-term relationship, because you never know at what stage in your business you're going to need that one person, like you said, to vouch for you. And so, yes, definitely the high-yield savings. What pitfalls, in your experience, would you say that a lot of entrepreneurs fall in, and how do you get them out?
Some of the pitfalls, I would say, is just not planning properly for taxes. And, you know, I get it. Like, in the first few years, all the money is going right to pay for things. But the sooner you can establish a relationship with a good CPA and get some tax projections about what you're going to be owing, then the better you can prepare and save that money or pay the estimates every quarter, now that it's your responsibility. Another pitfall, I think, is just not really understanding, like, cash flow is hard. I'll tell you, you know, cash flow is one of my biggest challenges, is how do you make cash flow more and more consistent each year, so that we can operate the business more effectively each year and I could continue to grow and things are being, you know, operated on the back end smoothly. And cash flow, especially for entrepreneurs, you have to really look at your business. If you're not getting paid monthly, like maybe you get paid by projects, so how many projects do you need, you know, or maybe you're selling widgets, so how many widgets do you need to sell each month? And then you'll look and track the cycles of your own business, because maybe you sell more in a specific month than other months. So during those months, you would just stock the extra revenue and make sure you have that for months that are slow. You know, there's always It's always good to have more cash, especially early on, because that's gonna be your lifesaver, you know, cash or credit, really, or, you know, whatever it comes down to. But really just understanding that, you know, the more clear you, like, I was super clear with the numbers, and yet you still get hit with these challenges. So no one's immune. It's not like the plan is just going to save you. It's just going to help prepare you for when those times come, so you can operate in the most effective way and make decisions, you know, that will be more conscious.
Yes. And I like that you mentioned about taxes, because a lot of people fall into this trap of not knowing when IRS can even come for your business. And not that they intend to always want to destroy you, but there are rules and systems to follow that if you're not careful to follow them, you can definitely end up in that pitfall, as we said. And I always thought that, you know, once you start making real money is when you get a CPA, but it sounds like it is way too late. You need to get a good CPA that at least you can afford, that can understand your business and can guide you the right way from get go. Is that right?
Correct. Definitely. And, you know, I always say pick people who you like, you trust, who are responsive to you, who you feel you can ask questions and they'll tell you, because what you're really paying for is an education. You know, you need to get educated. And even me, like, I remember I'm a CFP, I know tax strategies, but I value my CPA so much because they're the ones who are staying up on top of all the tax laws and knowing what I can deduct and not deduct. And I learn from them. I learn new strategies, or I learn new things for my own business and our clients, like what we need to look at. And so a CFP, like a financial planner, should complement and vice versa the work that your tax person does. And I think a lot of people think, oh, my accountant is handling it. My accountant is handling it. Well, I just talked to someone yesterday, a new client, and she runs a very successful business. And she said, you know what? I messed up. For the first 5 years, I trusted this person, my accountant, and he didn't do a good job. And now it's a mess and I have to clean it. And it was my fault because I kind of didn't pay attention and I didn't get in there. And I said, I know it's tricky because you're so busy, but really, it's your money, it's your responsibility. And find people who can help you and are professional and know more than you. But at the end of the day, it's still your decision. It's still your money, what you're doing with it. So don't ever outsource the decision completely where you don't know what's happening.
Man, that is so good. And I heard it said once, Brittany, that one of the differences between the rich and the poor is information. And I really like that, because really, if we knew everything that maybe a CFP or CPO or the taxman, anyone else knows, or even a little bit of it, then people will not get into these problems that we tend to get into when it comes to handling your business finances. And I really like what you said, that do not just leave everything to your CPA to handle. You also, as a businesswoman or a businessman, you are responsible for your own business and the money that comes through your business and your own finances. Because the CPA, they're taking care of you, and they're also taking care of a lot of other people. And you cannot play the ignorance card. It is your business that you're running, and you know what comes in and goes. So we can no longer play the ignorance card. There's so much education out there and so much information out there to learn. Audience, even as you're listening in today, for you to know how to handle your finances, you don't have to have a CPA or a CFP certification. You can have all these people with you, but you also have to learn these things. Now, let's talk about, you mentioned credit earlier. How important is credit when it comes to determining, even for a business person, how to move forward, how to get money for your business?
It's tricky, I tell you. So many things I wish I would have done better when I first started. I wish I would have got a credit line when I first started. You know, I looked into business loans, but unfortunately, because I didn't have my business revenue yet, they wouldn't give it to me. And so I kind of gave up. But what I didn't realize is maybe getting a personal line of credit at a lower interest rate would have been a good idea until the business had revenue to then go ask for a business line of credit, right? So I kind of like this idea that as soon as you can get some sort of business line of credit, maybe get it, even if you don't need it, and be really responsible to not use it. But that will be an extra cushion if you want to expand or when things are slow. So credit is usually a tricky one because you need to show them something to get the loan. So maybe that means getting a cosigner or being creative. You know, there's also a lot of grants available, specifically for women-owned businesses. I applied for a handful 1 year. None of them came through for me. But I think even just doing the activity and figuring out where are you going to get resources from, because you're going to need more money than you think. So the money that you saved is going to go faster than you think. Maybe personal investor money will get depleted. So the more access you have to leverage credit to your advantage, the better. And I think, you know, maybe it's a yearly goal where every year you just go and see if anyone's going to give you a business line of credit or a loan at this time. Obviously, certain businesses, you have to get a loan first and, you know, figure out what that is and do it and get the money. But I'm talking about more, I guess, for like people who start a business and maybe don't necessarily need all that capital right away, but it would be smart to then like continue to don't let it fall through the waste, you know, to the wayside. Like, keep it in your forefront because you never know when that will come in handy.
Now, we talked about grants for women-owned businesses, and I know that there's so much out there. There's so many grants out there for women, and just do your research. I think sometimes when we talk about money and we talk about finances, this is one thing that Brittany, and I'm sure you can attest to this, that can stop a lot of people from getting started. Because I don't have money to start. No one is going to give me money. I have bad credit. I have no assets to claim, and whatever the excuse is. And people just tend to sit and wait for something to happen, either to win the lottery or wait to see who's going to give them money to get started. Do you have any advice on someone in this situation that says, I have absolutely nothing, but all I have is a dream? Where and how can they get started?
Gosh, I mean, it's a good question. I just think anything is possible, really. If you want something, you'll find a way. There's a lot of money out there. It's going to take work to get it, whether you go to a bank and ask, whether you apply for grants, whether you go to personal investors and ask, whether you go to VC investors and ask. I mean, everything's going to take effort, but it is possible. And with money especially too, there's certain energy to it when you're open and you really come at it with an abundance and wealth point of view. You'll see that money's everywhere. So it's just a matter of where are you going to get it? How is it going to work for you? But don't, I think, like, just don't let that stop you. Like, I don't know, for some reason, I've always been in the mindset, like, there's a way. There's always a way. So I just need to find the way. And I test things, and maybe that's not the way. Okay, great. I learned that wasn't the way. But then I get more information to then try a different way. And I just kind of, I have that tenacity, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have that same thing. So don't play, I think, victim, but think about, okay, that person did it, I can too. There's a way for me. I have to trust that if I keep putting in the time and energy and focus and dedication, things will work out. You know, I'm very positive in general. I believe that you can have what you want. It's going to take time, it's going to take work, but sometimes it's not as much as we think.
And I'm with you on that. I really believe in that, of just not giving up. And you're right. There's so much money out there. And is not going to come knocking on your door. You know, I think that commercial with the publisher's clearinghouse where they come knocking on your door, you want $5,000 for every month. It doesn't always work that perfectly. But the fact that you have to chase it. If you have a dream to be a business owner, or you already have a business and you're listening in today, I mean, Brittany is sharing so many great advice here that you can use in your business, but you also have to know within yourself that there's no way you're going to give up. There is no option to give up. Someone out there wants to believe in what you're doing. Someone out there has the money and the resources that you need to make your dreams come true. But it's not just going to come to you. You have to research. You have to talk to the right people. You have to have mentors. You have to follow in the footsteps of someone that has already been where you're trying to go. And you have to also just have the right people around you. But if you sit down and you play a victim and you keep making excuses for yourself, you're never going to accomplish that dream. And you're always going to end up blaming, you know, something didn't work. The system didn't work for me. But it's working for other people. Like Brittany said, if it worked for someone else, it can definitely work for you. So don't give up and just know that the harder you work, you know, and the smarter you work, you will be able to actualize your dreams. Brittany, what are some of your greatest business and personal challenges that you faced as an entrepreneur?
Oh, so many. You know, I think it's just this. Recently, I had this awareness around, it was just like I tried so hard in the beginning, and I think there's a level of trust now that I have. Like, I know how it works more. Wisdom through experience, you gain wisdom. But I think some of the biggest challenges have just been probably just changing my own mindset that it's possible, that I deserve it, that I too can run a successful company and get paid the income I want and have the freedom I have with my schedule. So I think a lot of times, especially like, for example, cash flow, you know, there's times, so many times in this journey as an entrepreneur where I thought, oh man, this is never going to work. Like, I don't know. I have no idea how I'm going to make payroll next month. You know, like, what happened? There's all this money and now there's, you know, and then you learn, oh, that's kind of part of it, that every business goes through it. I'm not alone. You know, this is part of the course. And how do I fix it for next time so it's better? So I guess the challenges that I faced are probably the ones everybody faces. And I think for me, it's just, how do I change who I am? What are my thoughts that are keeping me here? How am I showing up that's keeping me here? What behaviors, habits, thoughts, actions do I need to change to make this better? And now I love that part, because I think that there's so much unlimited potential, right? And that's actually, for me, the entrepreneur love, you know, that in any moment I could shift this thing, I could course correct, I could change it. I created it, I could recreate it, I could destroy it, do it again. So there's no, that's the beautiful part too. Like, when you're an entrepreneur, you're creating your life each moment, and it's really up to you, and there's a lot of power. There can come fear with that, but I always think, like, instead of fear, it's exciting. I like it, I love it. And it took me a while to even acknowledge that. Like, I think, you know, the first few years I wasn't so clear that, no, I really like this. I like the challenge. That's why I'm here. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it, right? Because I think we do what we want in life. So, yeah, I would just say, stay in the game, learn, ask as many questions, like you said, asking questions, always being a student, stay humble. You'll reach quote unquote success and get knocked down. It's hilarious, actually. So, you know, I'm always a student. I'm always learning how to improve. And then also technology and the world is constantly changing. So you really have to, even if you're working it for someone, you really have to consistently add value and be valuable, and set yourself up for that kind of long-term success.
Yes, yes. I love your positive attitude.
Thank you.
No, it's so infectious because it just feels that you make it sound like, yes, it is possible to get there. It's possible. You know, you're literally making fun of the pitfalls and the many times that we're going to fall down flat on our face. It's like, hey, it's all part of the journey. Get up, dust yourself up and keep going. And that is the right attitude to have as an entrepreneur, because it will happen. It definitely, if it hasn't happened to you yet, trust me, it will. But what is going to be your attitude behind it? What mindset? And you talked about having that, you know, the right mindset, and overcoming those bad habits and overcoming those limiting beliefs that can stop you or that can even be a hindrance to your growth or to your success. And so we have to have kind of self-awareness. I think that's what it boils down to, is having that self-awareness and knowing what works, what doesn't work, what do I need to give up, what do I need to pick up, and just, like you said, continue learning. I mean, the way technology is changing, social media, everything moving so fast, you have to keep learning. If you're not learning, you're not growing. I think, yeah, that's how it's safe, you know. And if you're not growing, you're dying. So,
yep, grow or die.
I love it. Grow or die. You're absolutely right. Now, Brittany, where can people find you? I know you have a lot of programs that you offer. Tell us about your company and how people can get in touch with you and what you offer.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody listening, if you haven't already met with a financial planner, go to the website and schedule a call for a complimentary session. We do financial planning. We offer power sessions, which is kind of like a 1 month package where we get you all set up in your financial life and give you some very actionable things that you need to do, whether you're just starting out or maybe you have accounts and have assets and you just need to see how are these all working together. So the power sessions, amazing service that we offer individuals, couples, and business owners. And by scheduling that free call, it's really just an opportunity for us to hop on the phone, connect, see if our services are a good fit for what you need and want. And then you know another option out there, even if it's not a good fit. At least now you know. So the website's financiallywiseinc.com. And if you just click on the financial planning tab, you'll see the link to schedule that call and really make it a priority to do something, whether it's scheduled with us or another company. I just think talking to a professional can help you really leapfrog and save a lot of time and energy and headache. And no one does it alone. It's a myth if you think people do it alone. No, the most successful people who stay financially successful are the ones who have a whole team and they're constantly spending time, money, and energy to get the resources they need to continue to operate successfully. So it's a gift to you and it's a gift to, you know, everyone around you when you become financially wise. And we hope we can be the people that help you. But if not, at least you experience us and get more valuable information to help guide you along your own journey.
Thank you so much. And that website is financiallywiseinc.com. I mean, please get on Brittany's website, schedule your power session. It's complimentary. You cannot go wrong with that, and see if they're the right fit for you and get some financial education going, you know, just be in the know. And you're right. When you are financially wise and sound, it not only helps you, but it helps everyone else around you. If you're a parent, you're literally leaving a financial legacy for your children, for your family. You know, if you're a business, you're leaving that financial wise culture within your business. So it's such important information to know. And, you know, what better way to know than to go here, get on the website, talk to Brittany and her team, and really see how they can help you. They're helping a lot of people, and I'm gonna sign up definitely. Definitely will. So look out for me, Brittany. But this has been so awesome, Brittany, talking to you. Do you have any one last advice, whether financially or just business in general, that you want to give to the audience?
I would just say, keep going, keep swimming. If things don't work out the way you thought, oh, well, move on, try something else. You know, I was recently with my nephew and I broke up with a guy I was dating and he said, oh, well. And I realized, yeah, life goes on. Have fun. Oh, well, keep going. It's not that serious.
Life moves on, right?
Life moves on.
I love it. I love it. Well, Brittany, it has been awesome talking to you. It's been so fun talking to you. I'm truly honored that you're on the show. I hope this is not the last time we talk. And thank you so much for being on the show. And I wish you continued success in your business.
Thank you. Vice versa.
Well, audience, thank you so much for listening in today. Once again, don't forget to leave a review, share this podcast, and honestly, listen to it. Listen again, take notes, and do not forget to go to Brittany's website. It is financiallywiseinc.com, and to also sign up for the pause session and see how Brittany and her team can help you. So thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. I am here every other Tuesday for new episodes. Brittany, thank you so much for being on the show, and I thanks for coming, and I wish you have a great rest of the week. And audience, thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Diary of a Female Entrepreneur. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please leave a raving review, subscribe, share, and send us your questions. Want to be a guest on the show? Contact us at www.triumphantwoman.org. Join your host, Nancy Mensa, and a surprise guest next time for another episode of The Diary of a Female Entrepreneur.